Rachel Kerik Nun Pasik Hey. Okay, Kerik Nun Pasik Hey, we are discussing the Shaya is describing his experience, his initiation, and his experience into prophecy, into the role of a prophet. So we learned yesterday that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a talent. It's a fascinating pasuk. Pasuk Dal, the pasuk before Hashem gave him a Shoyim Lidim Adas Us Es Yoef. He knew exactly what to say, when to say it, how to influence the people that are bored to death.
Could have become a rabbi.
Talent unloaned from God.
What? Talent unloaned from God. Rosh Limbo.
He definitely would have made a great rabbi.
What?
He would have made a great,
great
rabbi.
Rabbi. I tie half my brain behind my back just to make it fair, right? I haven't listened to him in quite a while. He still says that? Okay, that was yes. Now we're up to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey is Hashem Elokim. Pasach li ozen. He opened up my ear. Now here in this pasuk he describes that in order for a talented speaker to give over, he has to have source material. That's the most important thing for a rabbi and for a preacher or any public speaker. If you don't have you can be a good speaker and you can know the language. If you don't have what to say, no one's going to listen. You need chomer l'drush, content. Content.
See what you mean.
What? I used to work, I still work in a different online marketing business, and there's an expression, cash is king, right? Cash is king, so my business is content is king. If you don't have good content, you're not going to get it. It's so complete. What?
But you got to keep them awake.
Content is king. If you don't have the good content, you're not going to attract them. So he says, Hashem opened up for me. Hashem looked impossibly eyes, and Hashem opened up my ears. Hashem opened up my ears to listen to prophecy. So here it appears a prophecy, and Hashem gives over prophecy. Hashem is speaking. That's very interesting because we would think it's more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're more familiar with the prophet seeing visions. Chazoin Yeshaya ben Amot. Yeshaya had a vision. He sees things. And then he relays his vision. He conveys, he gives over. This is what I saw. And let me tell you about what's going to happen at the end of days. And you better behave yourself so that you merit these good things. But I also see punishment coming. So do tshuva, so the punishment will not come. But that's not what it says here. Here it says that there's another form of prophecy. Now where a prophet has a vision. But a prophet hears. He hears what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him.
Shimu Dvar Hashem.
Shimu Dvar Hashem is where the prophet is instructing others to listen. But where did the prophet get his source material to give over? Sometimes he receives his source material through a vision, through the kayach of re'iyah. Doesn't necessarily mean re'iyah, physical sight. It means he sees something in his mind. Hashem shows him a vision, a mare. And sometimes, like in this pasuk, he gains his source material from hearing Hashem speak to him. Hashem speaks, talks to him, gives him ideas, and tells him what to tell over to the people. So that's what he said. Here, Hashem lokim pasach li ozen, opened up my ears. And I was responsive. I listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he told me, when he told me what to do, I listened. Yanochi lo yimurisi, I did not rebel. Ochor lo nisugosi, nosog means to turn back. I did not turn back. Hashem instructed me to go to his people and give them Musar. And we'll see in a few moments that it's not so simple to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. They are not very receptive to hearing, a rebuke. But Hashem told me do so. I did not rebel. I did not turn back. Achor backwards. Lo nisu gosi. I did not return. Go backwards. Two different words really mean the same thing. Achor and nisu gosi mean the same thing. Here's an expression which means I did not disobey. Pasuk vav gevi nasati limakim. Gevi means my body. My body, my guf. It's a fancy word for the word guf. I gave over limakim to those that hit. In other words, Yeshaya is telling us that he was subject to physical abuse. When he would say something that people didn't want to hear, they would hit him, they would smack him, they would punch him. And I realized by doing Hashem's will, by speaking harsh words of rebuke to the people, they would hit me, and indeed they did. But I did not, I accepted my mission. My cheek was given to people who pluck. In other words, Yeshaya had a beard, which is not clean shaven. That's what we learn here in this pasuk. And the people would pluck out the hairs of his beard. They would grab him by the beard, pull out his beard. They tortured him because he told them things that they did not want to hear. Machik lemortim to those that pluck. Panaylo histarti. I did not conceal my face from nikilimos barok, from shame and spit. I was shamed. They would scream at me. They would embarrass me, and they would spit on me. Yet, although I suffered, I accepted all of these things we have here. He was beaten, his beard was plucked out, he was spit on, and he was embarrassed. And he did what Hashem told him to do. Zayin, v'Hashem Elokim ul yazor li. The only reason why I survived all this harassment was because Hashem was at my side. Hashem helped me. Alkein lo nichlamti, and therefore I never felt ashamed. I never felt embarrassed, ashamed, because I was doing the will of Hashem. Alkein, therefore, samti fanai kachalamish. I made my face like a flint stone, a strong, solid stone. I was strong, resolute. Vo'eda ki lo evosh, and I knew that I will not be embarrassed. I knew that I would succeed. Here it means embarrassed. I think in the broader context, I would fulfill my mission. There are two different types of embarrassment. There's an embarrassment moment. The moment the person does something, people laugh and they mock him and they make fun of him. That's one type of embarrassment. There's a much greater embarrassment when you're a failure, where you spend time, you invest of your money and your time, your resources to accomplish a certain goal. You put ads in the paper and you invite everyone to attend a certain event or a certain function, and no one shows up. So that's not an embarrassment for the moment. That is, people look back and they look at the entire period, the entire epoch, the entire period of time. Did you accomplish anything during this all of this, your efforts? Did you reap any benefit? No. So you're a failure. That is the ultimate embarrassment. So Yeshaya here says that besides the momentary, the embarrassment of the moment of being harassed and kicked and spit upon, did I accomplish anything in the big picture of things? All of my musa that I told Klal Yisrael. And we said this many times, seemingly no, because they didn't do tshuva at least to the degree where he was able to prevent them from the Churban. The Churban happened. The Churban happened. The Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim happened. And the Churban Bayis happened. But Yeshaya says, Vo'eda, I know good and well, ki loy evosh, I would not be embarrassed. My words would sink in to some degree into their hearts and minds, and it had an effect. And we mentioned many times, the only reason why Klal Yisrael was able to have the strength to do tshuva and to rebuild the Bayis Sheni and ultimately the Bayis Shlishi is because to some degree the words of the Nevi'im did sink into their hearts and minds, and they learned. They took the Musa. Pasuk Ches. Karov Matzdiki, the one that will declare me righteous is near me, referring to Hashem. Hashem is by my side. Hashem will declare that I am right. Everything that I say is correct. Ki mi yarviti. Therefore, who would dare quarrel with me? Who would dare tell me to be quiet and silence me? Na'amdo yochad. Let's go to court. Let us go for judgment to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. If there's anyone present in Klal Yisrael that has a problem with me, with my preaching and my Musar, let them come with me now to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we'll go for judgment. Mi bal, he repeats himself, mi val mishpati, if there's anyone that has a mishpat, that has a complaint against me for my harsh words, yigash eloi, come to me. Come, adorava. Stand up and issue your complaint, and let's go for judgment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am not afraid because I know I am right. Pasuk Tes, Hein Hashem Elokim Yazoli, I am certain that Hashem will help me. Mi hu yarshieni, who would dare criticize me and declare that I am a Rasha, I am guilty. Hein kulam kabeged yivlu, all of you people out there that complain and criticize me and declare my wickedness, you're nothing. You're nothing more than a piece of cloth that will yivlu, will wither. Osh yoychlem, what?
Will wear out.
Osh yoychlem, and will be eaten by moths. Even the most beautiful garments, eventually over time, they wear out. And are susceptible to moths, and they wither. And the mashal here is compared to a garment, because a garment represents chashivas, honor, respect. A person walks into a room, is dressed in a festive garments, people take notice. So the people that criticized Yeshaya were the people that were in style. Okay, they were dressed in the latest philosophical styles of the day. You're wearing the most beautiful garments. The styles are always changing. The gadim always change. The people who, the critics of Yeshaya, they were in style. They had beautiful garments. Everyone wanted to hear what they had to say. Yeshaya says, you're all wrong. You don't know what you're doing. You're making big mistakes. Your hashkafa, your ideology, your values are all dead wrong. Listen to me. I'm telling you, the MS says, serve Hashem, do Torah, mitzvos, and that's the only thing that will endure. And just like garments eventually wear out and are thrown in the garbage after they're eaten up by moths, that's what's going to happen to all of your false values, false sense of values. Pasuk Yud. Mi v'chem yirei Hashem. Who among you, Klal Yisrael, fears Hashem? Shomea b'kol avdo, listens to the voice of his servant, the voice of the call of the servant of Hashem, referring to Yishai. Yishai here saying, "I'm the servant of Hashem." Asher holach hashechem, those that have gone in darkness, ve'ein no galo, and there is no brightness. Yiftach b'shem Hashem, let them now have faith in the name of Hashem, the Yishoin be'lokav, and lean. And find support in HaKadosh Baruch. So here he's telling them that although I know it's difficult, you're going through very difficult times, it appears that there's Hester upon him, but if you fear Hashem and you listen to the voice of his servant, the servant here refers to the prophets, listen to what they say, despite the fact that it's dark, don't worry. You have to fortify yourself and mechazik yourself in times of golos and times of tzor. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi pasuk good in the Mitzvot David. Yirei Hashem Asher Hu Yor Me Hashem B'Shmei B'Kol Avdo Hanavi Asher Yeholah Chashechim, who has gone in darkness. What does that mean? Afilu Cholach B'Cheshchas Hatzoros. He's gone in the darkness of difficulties. V'Adayin Lo Motza He'ora U'Seshua. He has not yet found the light and salvation. Do not worry. You have to strengthen yourself. Yiftach b'shem Hashem shetovelo hatashua v'yishoin, and lean upon Hashem, and He will provide you with salvation. And Rashi says the same thing. Rashi says sheholach hashechem afilu. Yeah.
Rashi, what?
This pasuk yud, pasuk Rashi in pasuk yud, asher holach hashechem afilu tzara ba olav yiftach b'shem Hashem ki hu yatzileu, He will save you. I believe there is a medrash, and the medrash says. The medrash is this: it's not a medrash. It's a Gemara brachos coming up in only 2 weeks. Brachos tavav amid beis amid aleph. The Gemara quotes this pasuk of Mi vochem yirei Hashem, who among you fears Hashem? Shmei b'kol avdo asher holach hashechem. What does that mean? So I'm reading you from the medrash, from the Gemara on brachos. Amar Rabin bar Rav Ado Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Kol harogil lavo lebeis hakneses v'lo ba yom echad. Any individual who comes every single day to the Beis HaKnesses and one day does not show up, he's absent. That's what it means. He's Shmei B'Kol Avdo. He listens to the voice of Mi V'Chem Yirei Hashem Shmei B'Kol Avdo. Hashem, so the drush is, I believe if not mistaken, is who among you is a Yirei Hashem? Yirei Hashem means you come to davening. Shemeya b'kol avdo refers to Hashem. Okay, that's the drush. Hashem listens to your voice. The mispalel, the person comes to shul, he davens every day. Hashem yearns to hear the voice, the sound, HaKol Kol Yaakov, of this individual pray to Hashem every single day. But what happened? He's not here today. Why not? Holach chashechem. He went in darkness. What in darkness here, the Gemara interprets to mean that he's not present. Coming to shul, you're coming to a place of light. If you're not in shul, where did you go? It's dark. Let me go back to the Gemara. Amar Rabin Bar Baruchanam Yochanan Kol Ragalav V'lo Beis HaKnesses V'lo Ibo Yoy Mechot HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashilo Hashem asks, where did this person go? Shenemar Mi Bochem Yirei Hashem Shomei B'Kol Avdo Asher Holach HaSheichim. It says Asher Holach HaSheichim. That is a reference here to he did not show up. V'ein Nogah Lo. It's not light for him. So the drush here, this is a little, that's not clear. I'm not really clear what this means. I have to look at the Gemara. But the way that the Gemara says, im ledvar mitzvah holach, no galo. If he went for a dvar mitzvah, the reason why he is absent from the Beis HaKnesses is because he went to a simcha. He went to a bris. He went to a bar mitzvah. He went for some mitzvah purpose. Good. No galo, it will be bright for him. So v'im ledvar harishus holach ein no galo. So I'm not clear. We're playing with the word v'ein. That it says here in the pasuk v'ein no galo. It's not bright for him. If he went for a dvar mitzvah, we ignore the word v'ein. I'm not exactly sure you understand what it means.
But it sounds to me like we said that when he comes, he has this light with him when it comes to shul. So if he's going for a dvar mitzvah, the light. That the light stays with him.
So what's the aim? If he went for a dvar mitzvah, holach
hashechem
means
he retains the light that he had when he went to shul. But if it's not for that purpose, then that light does not go with him.
No ga with a hey mapik is its light.
It's light. So no ga lo. Its light is for him. For him, he will be the cast light. Light. So maybe what it means is the word aim can be read ayin. He is absent. Ayin. So then it would mean holach hashechim ve. Don't read it ve'ein ve'ayin. He went in darkness, and he's not here. Ve'ayin. He's not here. But if the reason why he's not here is because he went for a dvar mitzvah, noigaloi. Hashem says, "Do not worry. I will cast my light upon him." But if the reason why he's not here is because he went for a dvar avera, or just he's lazy, he doesn't want to come anymore to shul, then we don't read it ve'ayin, we read it ve'ein noigalo. Holach hashechim, he has gone in darkness. Oh, you've gone away, you're not, darkness means it's dark, the person is not here. Then Hashem says, ve'ein noigalo, there will not be light for this person. If he has abandoned me, I will abandon him. So maybe light. That's what it means. He played the word ve'ein, the word vayin. What?
I don't know. It seems to me it's light. The light of the shul.
The light of Hashem. The light of the Shechina.
The shul where he went into darkness. Its light was
not there. Okay, we have to look at the Gemara. I didn't look at the Gemara, but this is the, when we come. You'll remember this when we get to the Brachas Davav in a few days. You'll remember to look to remember this pasuk here in the Yishaya Perek Nun. Okay, pasuk Yud Aleph. Hein kulchem kodchei esh. Now, how he is describing the difficult pasuk, describing the wicked people, and basically saying over this pasuk Yud Aleph is that the wicked people, they're going to burn in their own fire. This is a very common theme. You person does himself in schar mitzvah schar avera avera. So the common interpretation is a person does an avera and a mitzvah. What is the reward? Oh, you did a mitzvah. Hashem says, I will give you a reward by giving you an opportunity to do another mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, you'll get another mitzvah. And you'll do another mitzvah, you'll have another opportunity to do another mitzvah. But schar avera, avera. The reward of doing an avera, I will bring upon you nisyonos, and you'll do another avera. And then another avera. Doing a mitzvah is an opportunity to gain olam haba. Doing an avera is a pitfall for Gehenna. The more mitzvahs a person does, the more opportunities Hashem gives him in this world to do more mitzvahs. The more averos he does in this world, the more opportunities and more nisyonos, more tests he has where he fails and falls into the trap of doing more averos. That is the simple interpretation. But there's a much deeper interpretation from the Kotzker Rebbe. Schar mitzvah. What is the reward of a mitzvah? Mitzvah. The satisfaction that you did a mitzvah. Schar avera. What is the punishment of doing an Avera? Avera. The awareness that you have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person comes to Olam HaEmes, very deep idea, I don't know what it means, but this is what the Kosk Rebbe says, come to Olam HaEmes, what is the Olam Haba? What is Olam Haba? You look back at your whole life, the whole life is revealed to you, you see every single thing that you did, every thought you had, every action, and Olam Haba, you're reviewing your life. And when you review your life and you see that at this particular moment in time you did a mitzvah, the satisfaction you have in realizing that you have fulfilled Hashem's will and brought about a degree of Kiddush Shem Shemayim is such a pleasure. That is Olam Haba. It's not a cocktail party where they're serving drinks and having all different types of food and entertainment. Okay, that's something we don't really know, but on a very deep level, it's satisfaction. Schar mitzvah, satisfaction you did a mitzvah. Schar vera is the pain in realizing you've done a vera. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk, in reference to an avera. Hein kulchem, all of you wicked people out there, referring here to the Rishayim, koit cheyesh, you ignite fires. Koit chey means to burn fires. You're burning fires. You're making trouble. You're ridiculing tzaddikim. You're mocking the Torah, and you're doing averos. What you're doing is you're burning, you're destroying the world. The world was given so that people can do Torah mitzvahs. By making mitzvahs and doing averos, you're burning down the world. Me'azre zikos. Zikos means sparks of fire, and me'azre means to be oizer. Melech oizer is to gird yourself with strength. You're strengthening yourself, but you're strengthening your ability to ignite sparks of fire. So Hashem says, okay, that's what you want to do. Who's going to burn in the fire that you're igniting? You yourself. You're lighting, you're igniting your own Gehenna. L'chu, you wicked people who are igniting fires and are igniting sparks, strengthening yourself with sparks, l'chu go b'ur eshrem. Enter into the fire, your own fire. These are two words which mean the same thing. Or means fire, and Esh means fire. And here it says it in the form of Eshchem, your fire. Enter into your own fire. Step into your own furnace. Uvizikos biartem. And be burnt, biartem. May you be burnt in your own sparks. Miyadi hoisazos lachem. Hashem says, I'll give you back what you gave me. You gave me, from my hand, this will come back to you. You light a fire, I'll put you in your own fire. L'ma'atzevot tishkavun, you will die, you will lie down in sadness. Which can mean that your end will be miserable, or it can mean that even in, you think that when you leave this world, in the Olam HaEmes, at least there you'll have menucha. No, even when you're lying down in the Olam HaEmes, you are in a state of shechiva, of the other world, of being dead, it will be sad for you there. You will suffer, there will be punishment, it will be otsev. Otsev means sad. So this is a very powerful pasuk describing what the Rishoyim have in store for them. And the basic thing is, a person creates his own world. Your past comes back to haunt you. The Churban you make, you're making for yourself. The good things that you do, you're doing it for yourself. All these stories, one of the reasons why a person should not never curse someone else, the klala, is because you're really cursing yourself. We have that with David HaMelech and Yoav. David was furious at Yoav. Furious. Betrayal, all different things that Yoav did. He was a general. Yoav was Mamesha, an incredible, successful general. But at the end, it seems like there was some type of, between David and Yoav, there was a falling out at the very end. So David cursed Yoav. And Chazal tell us all of the curses that David issued about Yoav came true upon David himself. David suffered a lot of problems. The curses came back to haunt him. So therefore, that's one of the reasons why a person never said bit of stuff. You don't know what he's saying. I told you the story with this person, my garden house. He told me an unbelievable story with the Eruvim. He told me that he said this out by the Shabbat Brachas, by his daughter, that when he was a young bacher, he was in a bungalow colony, and there they were not nizah in the laws of Ervin, and the Erev fell down on Shabbos. The Erev, Mamash, the Tzuras HaPesach. And according to the halacha, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So he told them that you're not allowed to carry. The truck came and knocked it down. And they said, nah. Once it was good, when Shabbos began, it's good for the rest of Shabbos. That's nonsense. That's only true when it comes to the Rivi Chatzeres. That's not true when it comes to the walls itself. So he made a lot of trouble. He was a young guy. He made a lot of trouble. Some of the young guys make a lot of trouble. And they went to him, and they went, the people there, they knew of Yaakov Kamenetsky, and they were malshin on him. They told Yaakov Kamenetsky that this bacha of yours is a big troublemaker. He made a lot of trouble. I don't know if he was a Talmud, but in Torah, that's what he told him. So they, well, tell me what happened. So they told him the whole story. So Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Gam Baruchu, he should be blessed. The bacha should be blessed. He's excellent. He's 100% right, and you're all wrong. And was 30, 40, maybe many, many years later, his daughter or son married Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's grandson or granddaughter. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he said to him, he should be blessed, who is he really blessing?
Himself.
Blessing himself. He never realized it at that moment in time. So you never know what you do in this world, you're preparing for yourself. And the harm that you're creating, you're just harming yourself. You have to look at the big picture of things, of what happens way, way down the line.
One second, but the point about the air of falling apart on Shabbos, was he right about that?
Yes, 100% right. If the air falls down on Shabbos, you are no longer allowed to carry. If the walls, you're only allowed to carry if there are four walls. If a wall falls down on Shabbos, you have to stop carrying. That is the halacha. Okay, let's go further. Perek Nun Aleph. Shimu Elai, Rodfei Tzedek, Mavakshe Hashem. Listen to me, those who pursue righteousness, those that seek Hashem. Two very beautiful expressions. To be Rodef Tzedek. There are organizations called, what is the organization called? Rodef? Rodef, is there such an organization? I'm sure there is. What? Rodef Shalom. Okay, the organization, very beautiful expression. To be Rodef. What?
It's a favorite name for a shul.
Rodef.
Rodef Shalom.
Roidif Machlaikis. Roidif Kitata. Roid Fate Sendek Mavaksha Mavaksha. You know, I will tell you a joke. My great-grandfather comes from Raisha. So Raisha, that was named, it's, I guess, a Polish. I don't even know what it means. But it was a joke. There's a lot of Machlaikis in Raisha. A lot of fights. And Raisha, it's spelled Raisha. Raisha means the first. The first and the foremost. So there was a joke. It's Raisha Lemodoin Ulamachlaikas. That's what it says in the book. Because there were always fights going on there. What?
That was the local entertainment.
Those days, okay. Shimu Elai Red Fate said, listen to me, those that pursue their Rodev Tzedek, Mavakshe Hashem, those in Mavakshe Hashem. Two very beautiful expressions. Hibitu El Tzur Chutzav Tem. Look back at your source, the rock from which you have been quarried. We come from Avraham and Sarah. It's a very powerful pasuk. From the rock you've been quarried, the Makeves Bar Nukartem. Makeves means the whole of the pit from which you have been Nukartem, been cut. It also means the quarry. It's another word which parallels the word Chutzavtem. I'm not sure the exact difference. Both words for the simple translation mean quarried. Look at the source, the pit, the earth. The earth from which you have been taken, from the rock from which you have been hewn. Look back at your Sharashan. And why is the Pasuk telling us to look back at our source? So let's explain the first out, and then we'll see the Pasuk inside. It's because Avram and Sarah were Yechidim. They were one against a billion. The whole world did not agree with their ideas, their philosophy, their ideologies, that there is a creator, monotheism. This was far into the world. At that point in time, there were billions of gods, millions of gods. Everyone had their own god. Avram's own father, Terach, had a store of gods. I'll tell you a good joke about that in a moment. God shop. I'll tell you a great joke. Someone tell me a great joke, and before we finish, I'll tell you the joke. But look back at... Look, and yet, they were right. And even though they were one, it was one against Avraham Ha'ivri. He was on one side of the world and everyone else was on the other side of the world. Yet, with him was the emes. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him and made him into a nation, the Am HaNivchar, and expanded Avraham Avinu with the bracha of that your children will be like the stars of heaven and like the sand of the earth. So that's what it says. Don't be, just because you're one, this really follows the theme of the previous parak. All these breaks in the parakim are meaningless. These breaks in the parakim were all made by Christians, and they totally missed the point of a lot of these messages, it never took off. Probably like around 100 years ago, someone came along and they put new breaks, a new way to organize Tanakh based upon Chazal, and in the Koran edition of the Tanakh, they have it. But it never took off, because we're so used to the old chapter breaks based upon the printers and the Christians and whoever did it. That's the way it's going to be for as far as we can see, even though a lot of these things don't necessarily make sense. But if you look at the pasuk here, this fits very well with the previous. By the way, the Haftarah continues. This is from Ekev, right? This is the Haftarah Parash Ekev. You don't stop. Just because we get to Perek Tanaf, we don't stop. We keep on going, because obviously, if we would make the parakim, we would go all the way until we get to Toidah V'Kol Zimra. So it just goes to show that there's not a break. What's the connection I'm trying to get to is, Yeshaya says, I was a prophet. I accepted the mission of being a prophet. And being a prophet is not an easy job. You're subject to abuse, to humiliation, to being spit upon, to being physically beaten. But I'm one against a million. I'm only one. Everyone else hates me. I'm no different than Avraham and Sarah. Avram and Sarah were one against the whole world. So that's the connection of the theme. Don't feel bad, Yeshaya, that you're only one man. It's a one-man show. Don't look where you come from. You come from Avraham. He was also a one-man show. And he was successful. Look what became from Avraham Avinu, Klal Yisrael. You'll also be successful. You'll be my partner in making sure it'll be a Gula Shlema. Shimulai would face the Kavak Shay Hashem. Look at the rock from which you've been quarried. Avil Malkeves Bar, and look at the stone, the hole in the ground. Malkeves Bar, the hole of the bar. Malkeves means the hole, bar of the pit, a pit of earth, of bedrock, new kartem, from which you have been hewn, you've been cut. Habitu el Avraham Avichem, look, who am I referring to when I mention over here these two expressions, when I tell you the rock and the pit? The pit again means a pit of earth, of hard earth. Even bedrock, hard earth of stone. Who am I referring to? Well, the tzur refers to Avraham, and the bar refers to Sarah. Habitu el Avraham avichem v'el Sarah ticholelchem. The one who gave birth to you. This unusual word means labor pains. It means inyan hoylada, the yitzira. V'atecholelah, or the earth gave forth. It means to give birth. Ki echad kirasif. Now, kirasiv means greatness. It means to call. But here in this context, it means a calling of greatness. And it's you can't really translate the words. It doesn't really, the words cannot be translated literally. It's an expression because, but echa means they started out as one. As one. Kirasiv, I made them great. I called to them, but it doesn't mean call. Vavarecheu v'arbeu, I blessed them. And I expanded them. I multiplied them. One is Avraham. He was one against the whole world. He was only one ki echad. He was only one. But kirasif, I made him great. Vavarecheu, I blessed him. Varbeu, and I multiplied him. So you too, don't worry, Yeshaya. And so to you too, those that want to follow in the ways of Yeshaya and be from those who are the roitvei tzedek and mevakshei Hashem, you don't worry. Even though you are the minority, you're not in style, do not worry, you can succeed. You will also be included in this bracha, kirasiv, avarchei, varbeu. There's an interesting drush, is that we start out by referring, this is very good Torah for Sheva Brachos Torah, we start out here with Avraham and Sarah. First of all, it's very interesting that we mention even Sarah. Women, we know they don't get their due in Tanakh. And here, when we're referring to Avraham, it's Avraham together with Sarah. Even though I shouldn't say that, you don't find couples. I'll just take that back. You find a lot of talk about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Shloisha Avos, and then you find the Dalit Imams, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Okay, you find a lot. I shouldn't say. But you don't find often couples. You don't find them. You find fighting between couples. Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka, they didn't see eye to eye in who should get the brachas. But you don't find Chazal often in Tanakh where the Torah praises a team. This couple. They're a power couple. Very, very rare. Extremely rare. They didn't get along either. I mean, there was a lot of fighting. I mean, they didn't come. Barak. I mean, hey, you have to study. I don't remember the details. You have to study Dvar and Barak in more detail. But here, this is unique. It's unique in that they're described as a power couple, and to the point where I think Rav Schwab makes this point is it starts out as two. First, there is Avraham. And then there is Sarah. Avraham and Avram corresponds to the Tzur Chut Savtem. And then Sarah corresponds to the Makeves Bar Nukartem, to the object that was taken out of the earth. The hole you come from, the hole in the earth, you come from that earth, that hole in the earth where you've been cut, we've been hewn. And then, even though we start out describing them as two separate individuals, it's then Echad. They were one couple. They were one. They were only the two together was one couple, which from them came Klal Yisrael. It's also interesting since we do have this parallel of Tzur Chut Savtem corresponds to Avraham and Makeves Bar Nukartem corresponds to Sarah. If we go a step further, we consider that Rotfei Tzedek refers to Avraham, and Mivak She Hashem would refer to Sarah if there is such a parallel, because we already have the parallel twice. So it's very interesting, if that's true, to define the essence of Avraham as Roitfei Tzedek, and the essence of Sarah, Mevak Sheh Hashem. What does that mean exactly? Is this correct? Is it not correct? But it's an interesting idea. Okay, and let's just finish up until the end of the Haftarah. Pasuk Gimel, Ki Nicham Hashem, Tzion Hashem has given comfort to Tzion, Nicham Kol Chor Vosecha, He has given comfort to all of her ruins, Vayosem Midbura Ke'eden, He has made the desert, what has been desolate during the time of Galus, Ke'eden, like Eden, is a garden, not a garden, Eden is more than a garden, it's, I guess it is a garden, isn't it? It's a garden, V'tigan Be'eden, the garden is outside of Eden, no one ever saw Eden. It's a pasuk, right? No, it's in the Akdamis. No one ever saw Eden itself. The only thing that we saw is the garden that's on the perimeter of Eden. So Eden is within the garden. So it's not the garden. Okay, but it's loosely translated as the garden. Hashem has made the desert land of Eretz into a garden. Arvasa is the plain, which is another word which means a desert. It's a similar word to desert, parallels the word desert. Kigan Hashem, the garden of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I guess the Eden corresponds to Gan Hashem. Sason v'simcha yimot seba. There is Sason and Simcha. The different interpretations, maybe we'll do that tomorrow. The difference between Sason and Simcha, all different interpretations, we'll leave that for another time. Yimot seba can be found within it. Toida, thanksgiving, the kol zimra, and the voice of song. A place of great Simcha. This will be the comfort for Yerushalayim. This concludes the Haftarah for Parshas Ekev. Okay, we'll stop. I'll just tell you the joke. I promise you the joke. The joke is that there were a bunch of Hasidim sitting around. It's a great joke. It's very deep. And you have to think about this. It's not a simple joke. I'm not going to elaborate. What?
You scared the people off with the introduction.
You have to think about this and study the joke. Don't study more than the psukim. But it was a group of Hasidim sitting around the table, and they were all bragging about their yichus. This one said, "I'm an einikol from this rebbe." Can you? I don't even know all the rebbes. The one who told me the joke, he varfed off all the different different forms of Hasidus, Lubavitch and Sanz, and I don't know, Skver, whatever. You go through all. "I'm an einikol of this rebbe. I'm an einikol of this rebbe." They go around the table. Everyone is bragging away. And then they come to one guy, he had no yichus. He wasn't an einikol of anyone special. So they all said, they all ganged up on him. Nu? From whom are you an einikol? And they pressed him, they vazed him. Finally he said, I come, he didn't say I'm an einikol, I come from Avraham Avinu. Right, the pasuk here. Right? Habitu al Avram Avichem. I come from, look where I come from. Gadlus, Avram Avinu. So they all looked. They shuckled and they said, Ebaze, that means you're an anacle of Terach. Think about it. As if they're not an anacle of Terach. The only thing that counts is the anacle.